You're listening to the Super Coin Brothers podcast, brought to you by the Super Coin Brothers at Sahara Coins in Las Vegas. What's up, guys? Super Coin Bros are back with a topic that we've wanted to discuss for a while that a lot of people kind of, you know, they shimmy around it. It's taxes.
Taxes. The only thing that's more constant is what? Death, isn't it? Death and taxes, the two constants.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is after death, there's still taxes. So it's just you don't deal with them anymore.
I feel like Walt Disney would know about that because he's got his head frozen somewhere. Like, he's paying taxes on that.
Are we talking about The Simpsons right now?
No, we're talking about legit. Google that one.
It's
Walt
true.
Disney had himself a little scientific experiment.
A little popsicle party. Back.
Yeah, he's going to look like one of those heads in a jar from Futurama after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be traumatizing for
all
of us.
Which is also the creator of The Simpsons.
Wait a second, so it is The Simpsons right now.
Things are going full circle.
Dang it, you're a genius.
No, taxes, man, are an interesting topic, especially in this industry, because we do a lot of sales online as well as in the store. And state by state, it's different. I know here, the state of Nevada taxes anything with a denomination on it that sells for more than 1.5 times that denomination. Now, that can be pretty confusing.
Wait, hold on. Because it's denominational currency, period. And then 1.5 times the spot price, not the denominational price.
No. So if you have a $50 gold eagle and right, you're selling it for $60, because it's not more than 1.5 times that 50, it would be tax-free.
Oh.
That's the catch to it. So it's a really weird tax law, but that is where spot price does come in. Because if something's not, you know, a denominated form of currency, let's say it's a 1 ounce silver round, and for math's sake, let's say silver's at $10 an ounce, and your silver is selling for $11, it's tax-free. But if that same $10, you know, 1 ounce of silver is selling for $16, it's then taxed because they look at it as more of a collectible than anything else.
I'm going to slow you down real quick here because we jumped into some math problems really fast, and I don't think our listeners were expecting that. So I'm going to let everybody reach out, grab their cup of coffee, grab their notepad and a pen, and say, what just happened? We're doing homework.
We're going to say arithmetic just happened.
Arithmetic.
You like that? I haven't said that word since I was like 7.
I'm impressed.
And I didn't even know I said it when I did that.
But could
sure.
you spell it?
Let's not go there.
Okay.
So we're going to stick to the math problems and not the spelling bee.
English next time.
Yeah.
Got you.
But taxes are interesting. I mean, those of you that are listening in Nevada, some of you are probably familiar with that tax law. If you're not from Nevada, definitely look into your state's tax law because I know, you know, California, $1,500 or more is not taxed. If you buy $500 worth of product, you're taxed as opposed to like Arizona's tax-free. So, I mean, you're out there a lot with the customers. I mean, you hear, you know, a lot of tax questions, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's more than a few folks who make the comment to me that California is doing it better than we are. And I don't hear that phrase very often in the state of Nevada.
They may not tax bullion, but they make up for it in gasoline.
Yeah.
So we'll just go there.
But there's also a couple lobbyist groups in Nevada that have had success in other states with getting the tax laws rewritten specifically on silver and gold bullion.
Yeah.
And so they are actively working here, but I'm not entirely sure on their action plan if it's going to be this year or next year on the ballot. But this is definitely one of those things where if we're paying attention and we read the rule real carefully, like this will be the only tax law that it's okay to vote for.
Yeah, and those really, it's national. They're the group, I know which group you're speaking of, and that part of it, they're housed here in Nevada. But it's a national tax thing. I mean, these guys, they definitely are, you know, they're on our side as far as coin dealers, precious metals dealers. It's what they do. And it's not just for the dealer, it's for the customer. I mean, let's be real. When you're coming in to buy, you know, investment grade silver or investment grade gold or even numismatics, you know, the taxes can be huge. I mean, we're at 8.25%. I know in Nevada in January, it's going to 8.35.
Oh, wow.
So there's going to be an increase in taxes. And in that increase in that tax amount, you have to take that into consideration when you're purchasing.
Okay. Yeah. You absolutely do. Because that's part of your margins that you're going to base your sell price on, that you're going to see where your profits are going to be. And like, if you're trying to nail down this investment opportunity, like you got to make sure you know where all the ins and outs are.
Yeah, it's very similar to like, think about this. I get that silver purchases, I mean, some folks may be making $100,000 plus purchases, but most folks are coming in and spending, you know, $50, $150, you know, staying in the few hundred dollar range. compare it to like if you're purchasing, say, a vehicle. When you go to buy a car, you pay attention to what your tax percentage is, because you know that the $19,999 price tag on that car is really not $19,999. Mm-hmm. You know, once you add the taxes and the fees and all that good stuff, you're going to be paying quite a bit more. And you pay attention to that with those large purchases. And I feel like with simple bullion and even, you know, common numismatic coins, we don't always pay attention to, oh, wait, the price tag may be $150, but what's the tax going to be? So that's something to think about. And I know prior, a lot of folks purchased online strictly for the pure fact that they could get it tax-free.
Oh, or that amazing trick of having it shipped home to their other state.
Yeah, that used to be a big one here. Yeah.
Now, that all recently changed, didn't it?
It did. So in, let me see, it was June, it was passed. It was the, I believe it was South Dakota, one of the Dakotas versus the Wayfair. And it was a Wayfair tax that was passed. Basically, that changed the game for everybody. It wasn't forced into effect until October. And, well, here we are. You know, they've slowly been rolling it out across websites. So some of you that purchase a lot of stuff from Amazon, you may notice that a lot more of your Amazon purchases show tax now, whereas before they didn't. eBay is a big one for us specifically because we sell a lot of coins on eBay. And before, the only state we had to tax was Nevada. If you were purchasing, or should I say, taking delivery in Nevada, it was taxed. But with this new Wayfair law, what it is anything purchased online that goes anywhere, for that matter, is supposed to be taxed based on your county's tax rules. That's huge. Small businesses in general, I want you to think about that, especially someone like us. We've got, you know, six guys here. I don't know how we would dedicate that much time to keeping track of county by county tax rates, collecting the tax, and then signing and getting in with all these counties to submit tax.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
First of all, could you imagine from the flip side of that to the county side,
right?
If they were in a county office, which I'm again assuming not all counties are equal. There's some small shops out there too.
Right.
Would you really have to deal with all 50 states and how to process incoming transactions and like document and records? Like, imagine the audit process after that. What a nightmare.
Well, and imagine, like, you know, we're both from California originally. I keep that quiet most of the time.
I can't believe you just said it.
But here's the thing. I mean, where we lived, we were surrounded by multiple counties. So mm-hmm. there's Sacramento County, Placer County.
It's 55 of them.
You know, Roseville. I mean, there's all these different, well, Roseville's in Placer County. But all of these different counties had different tax rates. Because I remember if I bought something in Citrus Heights, and then I drove 2 miles down, you know, Riverside and bought something in Roseville, it was a different tax rate.
Yeah, I may have had a different experience figuring that out the first time.
Oh, no.
It was one of those fast food things.
Did you argue about the price of your cheeseburger?
I may have left the drive-thru thinking that someone was trying to screw me over. Like, why'd they charge me an extra 40 cents? Why is it 40 cents more over here and not over there? I think that guy's messing with me. Is he making 40 cents off every transaction? How much would he make in a year if he did that off every transaction? And then my brain got distracted by french fries. Anyway, it wasn't a great idea.
So you went all the way down that wormhole and then realized it was just different tax rates.
Actually, just now we figured out that it was different
tax. Perfect. Rates. Marvelous. Now I'm glad that I was able to solve that conundrum for you.
You scratched that itch for me, buddy. Appreciate
I'm glad.
You.
I'm glad I could help you. No, it's a big thing, guys. So right now, I know what we're facing a lot of is, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we sell a lot on eBay. So you see the stuff that goes out every day. And recently, you've been hearing us dealing with customer interactions. Basically, there's a lot of customers in other states that are buying, and eBay then taxes them. Now, the common misconception is that we are here sending out invoices and adding the tax. We have zero control. Anybody who's buying off of eBay, this is something you want to listen closely to. The seller has zero control over the tax rate. So I personally do not even see the tax rate. I don't even see the amount of tax they're charging you, period. We send the invoice. It only shows the total for the coins you're purchasing. They then send you the invoice that has tax. They collect the tax. We collect the coin amount. They submit the tax. So for us, we have zero control. We've actually had customers who have called from states where they don't tax bullion, and they've said, hey, I got my invoice. You guys taxed it. We didn't tax it. eBay taxed it. This system is still being worked through. They're still trying to work out the bugs. they're literally, it's a blanket solution at this moment. And until they've kind of refined it, the only solution to that is if you live in a county, you're taking delivery of something and it shouldn't be taxed, you have to call the eBay customer service line, give them your sales number, and then they will go ahead and refund your tax.
So let me see if I got this right. Now, we were just talking about how crazy and overwhelming a process this sounds like for us, the retailer.
Correct.
To calculate all the different taxes from all the different counties and all the different states. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how crazy it would be from just the individual tax office in one of those tiny little counties and how to deal with all the transactions from all across the states.
Right.
And what you're telling me is that eBay has swallowed the pill and they have the division, the technology, and the process to calculate all the different taxes in all the different counties.
Well, essentially, that's what they're attempting to do right now.
Yeah, and of course they're going to goof this up in the first round.
Of course.
Of course.
I would assume anybody would.
Could you not?
I mean, I look at it like this. The fact that eBay is taking control of that and handling that, it's great for us because we don't have the manpower to really sink into that to create an entire department for it.
It would stop. I mean, I would feel less inclined to use eBay, honestly. So this makes sense for them to keep us
right
to keep their flow going.
Yeah, they're still going to make their percentages. They're still going to make their money. So that is a big deal for them, is that they go through with dealing with all the taxes. They keep their customers. They make money. Now, are we seeing any sort of a decline in business on eBay based on this new tax law? Not necessarily yet, but we are getting a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, specifically about why they're being charged tax. So this is kind of the solution to that question. This podcast itself is going to be a very good tool to kind of give to people, not only for us, but any of you that are listening that may be business owners that sell online, that have e-commerce stores. You know, if any of your customers are curious, hey, what's going on and why am I being charged tax? Share this podcast.
You know, I'm also noticing too, we're getting a lot of the phone calls from the folks. Think of them like trained customers. Like they're trained to call the place directly to say, ship it to me directly so we can skip the text. Let's move on with this transaction.
Right.
And like that customer is the one who's really upset right now. He's not the one or she's not the one buying on eBay. They're the ones who are going direct to the source trying to save a buck. And it's like the system right now is not working for you.
It doesn't allow for it. Mm-hmm. Even that, it's something where yearly there is a shipping audit. You know, there's something that we have to turn in every year that basically shows, hey, we shipped X amount of packages out. This was their value. And depending on the situation, if it's not me shipping to another dealer with a resale license, they're going to want to know where that tax is. You know, so that's something to think about. Like you said, if you're one of those customers who likes to buy direct, that is awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. But keep in mind that this tax law and the way it's written does lend itself to you being taxed, unfortunately. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast.
Right, right. So we can double down on your regular bullion sales. We can point out, you can ask us what's taxable, what's not taxable, and then we can work from there. But I mean, this shouldn't slow anybody down on their stacking or collecting.
Right.
This is just one of those things you got to be a little bit aware of when you're calculating out your pricing later, because you want to include that tax when you go to resell it later, or just kind of be aware that that was paid for.
Now, here's the other side of that. Now, let's say you're a collector. You live in a state where everything is taxed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All bullion sales, all everything is taxed. Does it ever hurt to take a trip to Las Vegas? I would say no. If you are a heavy investor and you like to purchase your gold and silver and you want to save on that gold and silver, what's a ticket to Las Vegas from a state? You know, $100, maybe a couple hundred?
Mm-hmm.
If you're making a $5,000 purchase, $6,000 purchase, something like that, that tax savings, by taking a trip to Vegas, hanging out, eating at a good buffet, nice steakhouse, you know, have some fun in the casino, come down, buy your gold or silver that's non-taxable, you've now saved that, you know, $500-$600. I'm not going to say you didn't gamble it away, but at least you tried to save that money. But you can still get your bullion tax-free. This law didn't necessarily eliminate ways to buy bullion without tax.
No, and it was reformatted so that you could get some of that common bullion back. It's that denominational stuff, specifically here in Nevada. That's the tough part.
That is very hard. I mean, that's a tough one. And, you know, the things I know, like for us, if you're looking at gold, you can buy gold bars, you can buy Krugerrands, you can buy, they do make some gold rounds that don't have a denomination on them. Silver, you're running into silver bars, silver rounds, kind of the same thing. But American Gold Eagles, American Gold Buffaloes, any of the government minted stuff that was minted with, you know, their currency value on it, It just, it is hard. It's very hard to get it without tax.
I'm pretty sure I just heard a collective groan from our listeners out there when we said we had to tax U.S. currency.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Common question, by the way. Yeah. A lot of folks ask that. They go, wait a minute, isn't it currency? You're taxing currency? And again, think about it. It's just coming back to that because of its sale price, the state looks at it as a collectible. So once it's turned into a collectible, it's selling for that premium. Unfortunately, it does fall into that category.
You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward
lunch?
Well, obviously. duh.
They might charge you a couple extra cents. Just be careful.
It's entirely possible. But no, I'm looking forward to boring news again. I can't wait for the news to get boring because I would love for people to go into their city council, their local community government, and just ask the question like, hey, do you think our currency should get taxed? And I think that that's an important question to start asking some of these people in the low end so they can start kicking it up the food chain. Because if we don't, you know, actively talk about it, nobody's going to change it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I honestly, I feel like that question has been asked multiple times. And that's one of the purposes of ICTA. ICTA actually goes around and they work on that. That's something they're working on. And even for us, that tax law here in Nevada, that changed, I'd say, you can't quote me because as far as years might all blend together. But I would say about 5 years ago, initially, nothing was taxed. We didn't tax eagles. We didn't tax buffaloes. We didn't tax anything. Then we get an email that says, you know, it's taxed. So we started taxing. Then we get another one that goes, hey, sorry, it was kind of put out wrong. Bullion is not taxed. So then we stop taxing bullion, including American Gold Eagles, American Gold, but you know, those things. And then we get the, whoa, we actually put it out there incorrectly. It's non-denominational bullion that's not taxed. So I've seen this law change. I understand it kind of, because the way I look at it is this. You're still going to get your business tax. If I sell that, if I sell all that gold, if I sell all this stuff, we're still paying taxes. As a business, we still have to pay it. The difference now is we're still paying our business tax and you're getting state sales tax. But what does that do to the consumer? Does it push the consumer to a non-tax state?
Why does that smell like a double dip?
Right. But that's what I'm saying is, did it really work?
Oh, no. And you're right. I'm sure there's a ton of folks who just hit a state line in another direction. And if it's more right. their transaction speed, then they save $100.
Yeah. I mean, Gold Eagles used to be, when I first came into this, Gold Eagles were daily. It was people coming in, hey, I'm looking for a couple Gold Eagles. Hey, I want 5 or 6 Gold Eagles.
Who doesn't want to buy American made?
Correct. But now, I mean, since that tax law changed, that is not the norm. You know that.
No.
You've seen it. But when people come in for gold, they're looking for bars or Krugerrands. And when they do, usually what do they come in with? Hey, I'm looking for non-taxable gold. That's their intro into what they're looking for.
Or they're very sincere and they come in the front door. And like I'm impressed as to how many folks we get walking in the front door that have never been in a shop like ours before. They don't mess with precious metals. And they're in curious because they want to learn and make a good decision. So they ask right off the bat, what's the best deal? And I got to ask, like, do you like sales tax or do you not like sales tax?
Right.
And that's where we start the conversation because it just depends entirely on how much you're willing to spend.
Yeah.
Now, there is a superpower behind those American Gold Eagles, American Gold Buffaloes, and American Silver Eagles that are getting taxed. But I'm not sure how much you want to talk about.
So there's a little we can say about that. I mean, that's another thing you want to always think about, not only just your tax, but you want to look at the fact that at some point you may have the thought to sell off some of your items. Now, with Gold Eagles, I'm allowed to tell you this. Gold Eagles, Gold Buffaloes, any of the U.S. gold, you can sell as many of them as you want. And there's nothing.
Like 1,000,000 ounces and there's no reportable limit.
Right. You could sell as much of that as you want. Now, you look into the foreign gold, which includes those non-taxable gold bars. It includes those Krugerrands. It includes a lot of the things that are currently non-taxable in the state. And there's different reporting laws when you sell those.
Now, just to be clear here, folks, the IRS is crystal clear on one thing. We cannot talk about the actual numbers here. That is not for us to disclose, or else we get into business-ending trouble.
Yeah, there's lots of little laws and things, but what you can check out as a consumer is FinCEN. It's FINCEN.gov. You want to check that out because when you go there, you'll be able to go into precious metals. I actually think it's listed under precious metals and jewelry, but when you click on that, it's I'm not going to try to tell you it's a beautiful, you know.
It's a government-run website, bro. Yeah,
there's a lot of information you're going to have to skim through.
And it's not organized very well.
No, it isn't. But it's there. The information is there. So definitely look into that if you're thinking about investing into gold or silver in a heavy manner.
Well, I will say this, too. When you go to buy your gold and silver now, you got to think about when you're going to sell it. Like, some collectors are selling on a financial investment, buy low, sell high, silver hits $50, they're doubling their investment, tripling their investment, they're moving on. Other folks are buying because they're thinking it's the apocalypse, they're going to be trading for ammo and food and everything else. So, like, they're not going to sell. Those are two very different stacks. Because if you're planning on buying low, selling high, and you're going to do it all in one day, you might want to be thinking about paying that little sales tax up front on those silver eagles, gold eagles, because you can do a whole transaction at once and move on about your business. But if you have that generic stuff, there's going to be different rules for you, and it gets complicated.
Now, here's my question about that, because this is something I've always wrestled with myself. When people come in and I've dealt with them and they tell me that they are buying for that purpose, they're stacking for the just in case. What if we need it? If the whole monetary system goes to crap, what am I going to do? So I notice a lot of those folks come in here and they want to buy silver eagles and they want to buy junk silver, which, for those of you that aren't familiar, it's pre-1964 quarters, dimes, and half dollars. Here's my argument to that. You are buying in case there's a monetary crash. But what you are buying is U.S. Mint product that has a U.S. Mint value on it. And I understand that you're buying it for the silver, but you are buying something with the name of what you're protecting yourself against.
Well, I think there's a little cross information coming, because, like, what we see is the final decision to make the purchase of that product. But the information they're gathering is coming from those websites that are telling them, like, hey, just in case it fails, you're going to want something more reliable. And that is that pure, or that 90% silver, junk silver, or the pure silver of an American silver eagle.
But my question to you is, how many people know that? So when you go, if you come up to that point and something were to happen, how many people that you decide to go trade with are going to know that you're handing me a Washington quarter? I don't want that. I want something that literally says on it, 1 ounce of silver.
Yeah.
1/2 ounce of silver.
Now, when I'm talking to customers that are planning for the apocalypse or even planning for the investment with the idea of maybe the apocalypse happening, I always describe it like their stack should look like a cash register. You need to be able to deal change to people who want the U.S. issued stuff because they trust it, because it has security features built into it. It has history. It's got backing of the U.S. And, like, if you're that person who's planning on the U.S. recovering, and, like you can make plans for that. But then you also got the other folks who want to see that 1 ounce silver. Now, you can get fractional silver, 1/10, 1/4, 1/2, what have you. And so you should have a little grab bag of everything, and then you can start to sort your collection as you buy it into a little more of the junk silver this time, a little more of the generic silver next time, a little more of the silver eagles this time, a little more of the 1 ounce next time. Do the 1 ounce, the 5 ounce, the 10 ounce. And you just keep adding a little bit here or there, packing it in, packing it around. And then when you stop and look around, you're going to have yourself a healthy, robust collection with all the variables covered. Because if you do have to trade with somebody in the hills, first of all, dang. Second of all, you want to be able to make sure they're happy with your transaction.
Yeah, no, and I think you're right there. I think getting that diversified, you know, collection there and having it just in case, so you can make sure that you have what each individual needs or wants per se, is definitely the way to go. And the fractional stuff, look, fractional silver is hard to keep in stock, because when we get 1/2 ounce silver, we get 1/10 ounce silver. People buy it up.
First to go.
It absolutely is. The difference there when you're buying, you know, 90%. Usually we have plenty of it, but that's always been my struggle, is understanding why we would buy a U.S. minted product to protect yourself against a U.S. mint failure.
It really comes down to the content.
It does. No, and you're right.
Silver means money.
So yeah, I guess the situation definitely does change what it is that you need to purchase. One of the big things I know we've talked about in the store is showing people how to figure out if their silver is real versus not real, or if their coins are actually silver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we do have an option here where we talk about some of the tricks, like there's the tissue trick or the sound it makes, or there's also some of the home test kits that you can get, the acid kits. And like, I really think we should probably look into how some of those work, if one's better or not. We have a very expensive spectrometer here that tells us what we're looking at, which is free to use if anybody wants to come in and check it out. But I think we should put some of those home kits up against our machine and see if they can hold their own. What do you think?
Yeah, let's make that something we do here soon. And we'll discuss it here on the podcast. We'll have a podcast about that. And we may even have a podcast digging in a little bit more about the options and what they're good for or not good for as far as long term.
And we're absolutely not trying to scare anybody into planning for the apocalypse here, but it is good to plan for the worst and hope for the best. That's just kind of where we're all coming from.
That's true. I mean, I've tried to tell people, pack your Tesla full of silver just in case everything crashes. But then I realize if everything crashes, you're not going to have electric. And then you're going to have an electric car with no power with silver sitting in the back.
Unless you have a couple kids with a bike and a generator hooked
up. True. That's all we need. So we'll go from there. But guys, we just wanted to cover some of this stuff for you guys, the taxes and a little bit about silver. Again, we will be back with some more of these episodes we just referred to. And yeah, guys, let's keep this thing rolling. Again, keep following us. Make sure you subscribe. Go over to anchor.fm and look up Super Coin Bros and use the voicemail feature. You can click the voicemail button, leave us a voicemail, whether it be feedback or one of your coin stories, and we'll see what we can do about trying to use it in one of our next episodes.
And we did cover a ton of information today, so if you want us to break down a particular thing more or point out where to get an answer, by all means, use that feature over at the website. What was that website again?
That is anchor.fm. You can actually Google Super Coin Bros, anchor.fm, it'll pop right up, or you can go to our website, click on the link there at saharacoins.com, go to the Super Coin Bros tab, and right then and there you can click, head over to Anchor, leave that voicemail for us.
All right, we're here for you, folks.
All right, guys, have an awesome day. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Super Coin Brothers podcast. Keep up to date with the latest episode releases on Spotify, iTunes, or any of your favorite streaming locations. Make sure to follow us on the Super Coin Bros Facebook page as well as the Sahara Coins Facebook page. If you'd like to contact us or have show recommendations, you can email us at service@saharacoins.net. Once again, thank you for listening to the Super Coin Bros podcast.